we've been doing a series called on the character of God, and we've been pulling out the character of God from different psalms, Psalm 66, Psalm 103, Psalm 78, now Psalm 111. Sunday is Mother's Day. We'll be celebrating at the Mother's Day message. And then after that, Al's going to do a short series on healthy habits for the Christian life. And so we want to encourage you to be a part of that and to come and get us onto some healthy habits. I know I haven't been very healthy in my eating habits. I have a friend who reminds me, and I'm grateful for that. And I know others of you want to tell me, Pastor, you're getting big, but you've been nice and gracious, but just pray for me. But there's some spiritual healthy habits that we need to continue to work on also. So may we grow healthy physically, spiritually, mentally, socially, and we can continue moving forward for God's glory, because the battle is raging and we need to be prepared and ready to go the distance and persevere for the gospel's sake. So we come here to Psalm 111, and we come with the idea, with the thought of the works of God. The works of God. Now, we tend to wonder what life is all about. We tend to try to figure out purpose for our life. We tend to, because there's nobody really out there saying, you know, as we try to put together history from as far back as we know, as biblical history goes, is to creation. Others have no clue. They think millions and billions of years. Others have no idea. They're just all over the mark, all over the place. But there is a work of God that He is doing. We're just not spinning planets, just going all over the place. Our earth is in a rotation. There is a purpose. There is a plan. There is a reason why we're in a rotation. So we can able to have these seasons so that we won't burn up too close to the sun or freeze too far from the sun. And it's only a few degrees either way that can happen. But sometimes some of you young people are like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Some of you old people, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm retired. There is a work of God that He is doing, and He instituted it before He created us. It's called the decrees of God. It's the plan of God for the ages. And we see that throughout the Old Testament, God is working to bring about a special event. And He's showing His love, His mercy, and all this, and His wrath, and His judgment, all this. And it was working to this one monumental event. And that was the coming of the Messiah. That was the coming of the cross, that we might find salvation in Christ. And then from there, move forward to proclaim that message to the world, to the place where we come, to the culmination of the ages, what we know as eternity. But there is a plan, there is a work here, and God is continually working in each of our lives, and He wants us to join in His work. He wants us to participate in His work. What we know as life here on earth is not the end. This is not the sum total of our lives. Whatever we accomplish on earth is it. No, 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 there is an eternity. But God is doing His work. So we come here to Psalm 111 as we think about this. Let me read to you Psalm 66, verse 5. He says, come and see the works of God, who was awesome in His deeds toward the sons of men. Friends, that should be our testimony to our friends. We should tell our friends, come and see what God is doing. Not to prop ourselves up, but come to see what God is doing in our family, what God is doing in the Word, what God is doing in the world. Come and see. There is a God. There is a worthy God to be worshipped. There is a worthy God to be praised. There is a good God, a caring God, a compassionate God, but yes, also a righteous and just God. Come and see. Come and see. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? Isn't that what Andrew told Peter? Come and see. Come and see, come and see, come and see the works of God. But friends, in order for us to tell people, come and see, we need to be involved in the works of God. Come and see even when it's difficult. Come and see when it's good. Come and see when I'm having a hard time. Come and see when I'm angry. Come and see, because there is forgiveness. And come and see how God is doing His work, and He's molding my heart, and He's shaping my life. Come and see. Are you willing to do that to your friends, for your friends? Come and see. I don't have it all together, but come and see. And another way we can say it is come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Has the Lord been good to you? Has the Lord been good to you all the time? Even in the midst of the difficult times? Even when you have to eat that stuff you don't like broccoli and Brussels sprouts? And not all of us. Not all of us. Come and see when God gives me what I need to mold me, to shape me for His glory. Come and see. Come and see. The psalmist says in Psalm 1, this is what we're striving for, what we're trying to achieve to. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. He prospers. Friend, this is a person who is involved in the work of God. This is a person who has had his life cleansed, has pulled out the sin, has pulled out, and he no longer wants to participate in the old way. He wants to meditate on the work of God. So whatever he does, he will have success. Friends, are you finding success in the things you do? Now, I'm not talking big money. I'm not talking big houses. I'm not talking big cars. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Does he give big cars? Yes. Does he give big houses? Yes. Does he give us good clothes? Yes. But do you have joy? Do you have peace? What good's a big house if you have no joy and peace? Everything we do, we're like a tree planted by the water brook. Friends, that is a place for us to be. He leads me through the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me through the valley of the shadow of death, where I will fear no evil. He brings me by streams of water and green pastures. Is he doing that for you? Are you enjoying that place? Let's see what God says about the works of God. Psalm 111. And the first point is this. The works of God stirs us to delight in him. Okay? The work of God stirs us to delight in him. Okay? Look at verse 1. Praise the Lord! Exclamation point, right? Someone's just going to praise the Lord. There's an exclamation point. You know, we do take into consideration grammar when we read the Bible, when we study the Bible, when we interpret the Bible. This is a point of excitement for the... Yeah, I know some of us, when we're really excited, we'll praise the Lord. And others will... I don't get that high with that. I don't get that excited. But praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Where's that? Right here. Right? But not only here. Whenever we gather. Wherever we gather. As the church, as the family of God, as children of God. Not just Pico River Bible Church, but the church in general, right? We're meeting this Thursday in front of City Hall for the National Day of Prayer at 11:30. You are all invited to come because we can join our hearts together with brothers and sisters. We're going to have some singing, some worship. We're going to have some prayers that are prayed by different leaders. We're going to have a time of group prayer where we break up into small groups so that we can pray for one another. That's where we can give thanks to the Lord. And that's the testimony that we must be strong in, letting the world know we are not afraid to gather. You know, again, they're not going to arrest us. They're not going to throw us in jail. This isn't a Trump rally where we're going to get pepper sprayed or anything. We're going to be able to go there, pray, meet with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because we are the church. We are the church. We belong to God. See, he says here, I can give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Why? Why can he give thanks with all his heart? Because he has tasted of the work of God. Are you not excited? Can you not give thanks with your whole heart because of the salvation you have in Christ? And maybe, excuse me, you haven't been very grateful because you don't have Christ in your heart. Maybe that's what's missing in your life. Maybe what's missing is maybe that you're not excited about meeting with the brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not about the music. It's not about the building. It's not that the air conditioner is not working, or it's too high, or it's too cold, or it's too hot. Maybe it's because of Christ is not there in your heart. Because when Christ is in our heart, we should be driven with gratitude to pursue after God. He says, I give thanks to God with my whole heart. I pursue it. Look at verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord. Great are the works of the Lord. Here is someone who has seen, someone who can testify, someone who has been an eyewitness of the work of God. Have you seen the work of God in your life? Have you seen the work of God in your family? Have you seen the work of God in your neighborhood? Have you seen the work of God here in our own church? And then he says here, they are studied by all who delight in them. What is studied? The work of God. That's the Word of God, where we find out about the works of God. How God created us in the beginning. What does it say in Psalm? In fact, it says it in Jeremiah also, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I wasn't just thrown together. As Sarah says, like a tochi mochi, you know, just. God ordered and divinely created each and every one of us. This has to do spiritually, but let me challenge you even physically. Sometimes we're driven to a career because something that intrigues us. A doctor's intrigued with healing somebody, bringing about an antidote or a battle against, what was the name, Dr. Sachs, who created the vaccine for polio, or named Carver. Yes, he created the penicillin, right? People are driven to find solutions as they study the work of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 1 that all of creation shouts out his divine attributes. What does it say in Psalm 19:1? That the heavens, what? Declare his glory. People are driven to astronomy, not astrology. Astronomy, the study of stars, the study of planets, because they see the work of God. Who could create a star like God did? Who can create a body like we have? You know, even if they can clone, they're not working from nothing. They're still using God's material. Whatever man creates, we're still using God's material. The work of God is we should delight in the reality of human life. We should delight in the ability for social interaction with one another. We should delight in the fact that God loves us, and we love because he first loved us. Do you delight in the Word of God? Do you delight? And this is where we tell our friends, come and see what God is doing. Come and see my wife. She's changed. Come and see my husband. He's not drinking no more. Come and see my kids. They listen. Come and see God at work. And I'll tell you, it hasn't always been easy, but God is doing a work. Come and see. The works of God should stir our delight. You know, we delight in food. We delight in God's manifestation. We delight in the process of spirituality and salvation and discipleship. Psalm 119:16 says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. I shall not forget your word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Proverbs 23:26 says, give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Give me your heart. And friends, that's what God is calling us. And part of the reason we may not be delighted is because of our heart. We need to give our heart completely to God that we might delight in him. We could trust him. We can release and let go. See, if we're not giving him our heart, we're still fighting. We're still pushing away. We're still, you know, cringing. Like, oh, get away from me. Try to hug one of my kids. Oh, Dad, come on, cut it. One of my grandsons, the same thing. Oh. Friends, God wants us to delight in him. Him. And yes, we can't see God, but we sure can see His work, can't we? Can't we? We can see that He is a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a kind God. All the things we've been talking about over these last weeks. Turn with me to Isaiah 58, please. Verse 2. Isaiah 58, 2. Here's a warning. I want to warn us about this. Okay. Cry loudly. Verse 1 says, cry loudly. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Okay? So here's an underlying problem. Isaiah is being told by God, talk to them about their sin. Talk to them about their transgressions. Help them see it. Help them deal with it. Because even in the midst of their sin, look what he says. Verse 2. Yet they seek me day and night and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. What's happening here in this passage is they're doing all the right things outwardly. They enjoy coming to church. They enjoy opening their Bibles. They enjoy the potlucks. They enjoy the mug and muffins. They enjoy the men's things that we do. They enjoy different things, and they're willing to be called Christian. They're not afraid of those terms. They even know some of the right words to say. But in the midst of that, something hasn't changed on the inside. They are allowing their spiritual life, their Christianity, to go in deep. And God is telling Isaiah, go talk to them. Help them see the inside. Help them to go beyond just that. So friends, I want to warn you, I'm not judging anybody. Only you know what's going on in your heart. But why are you here? Are you here because God is doing a work inside of you and you want Him to go deeper? Or are you here because you get some kind of a high for the week? Because the deeper God goes, sometimes the harder it gets, isn't it? I'm not here to scare you away. I'm here for you to understand. Because a doctor needs to cut you sometimes, right? A surgeon needs to cut you in order to heal you, right? And we need to let God cut us to heal us, right? And it's to pull out the sin, to pull out the infection, to pull out the ugliness, to pull out the evil, to pull out the wicked. So it's more than just being able to clap in rhythm, right? I can't do it, and I'm probably not doing it now. But the idea here is that we allow God to do the heart transformation that we need so that we can delight when we see the works of God. Come back with me to Psalm 111, please. Because we can play the games. I know how to play games. I know how to work it. I know how to make excuses. I know how to, you know, rationalize everything that I want to do because I want to do it, not because God wants me to do it. I know how to play those games. I've attempted to share with you some ways of rationalizing things, but I don't want you to grab them and take what my pastor said. The second thing we see here in this passage of Psalm 111 is that the works of God reveal His grace and compassion. Okay? His works reveal His grace and compassion. Look with me to verse 4, the second part of verse 4. It says that the Lord is what? And He is gracious and compassionate. Do you believe that? Even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of death, even in the midst of sickness, even in the midst of financial loss, is God gracious and compassionate? We don't always see it though, right? We don't always feel it. But we know because the reality of Scripture says that He is. And when we look at the big picture, when we look past after the trial, we look back and say, in hindsight, He is gracious and compassionate. And this is why we must delight in His works, because when He did it then, He's going to do it again, right? If He was protecting them, He'll protect me. He told Peter, Satan wants to beat you up, but I have prayed that your faith will not fail. So sometimes we get beat up on the road of life, right? I don't want to sugarcoat this. I don't want you to think about Christianity, oh, it's all roses. Even roses have thorns, right? They've had to alter them to create long-stem roses without thorns. They've had to genetically do something to them. But roses are beautiful. Great aroma. Nonetheless, they have thorns. The works of God reveal His grace and compassion. And friends, that is the reality. And we must allow the reality, we must let God's truth override our feelings. Because guess what? If we allow our feelings to control us, I don't know about you, but my feelings, I'm on a roller coaster. Are you the same? Sometimes my biggest struggle is on Monday morning. I don't care how good I preached on Sunday. Monday morning can be a struggle for me. That's why I try to get out on my bike and go, just to get past a certain point in my life. So I don't feel down. I don't feel depressed or whatever. So I can't allow my feelings to control me. I must let the truth of God's word, who says He is gracious and compassionate. Verse 5. He has given food to those who fear Him. He will remember His covenant. Here He's talking specifically to Israel. He's talking about the Abrahamic covenant. Okay? He made a promise to Abraham. What was the promise? That He would lead him where? To a land that He has promised them. And how was that land described? A land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, a prosperous, a fruitful land. Okay? Maybe also referring to the Davidic covenant, that God would have a person over the throne, that David, a descendant of David, will be on the throne forever. And that throne was seen fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ being the descendant of David, who is the king, how long? Forever. He is king forever. So God is referring to, God is telling them to look to His promise, how He is keeping His promises. 400 years of silence. 400 years of that it had been since the people of Israel had been together, the tribe of Judah, had been together, and God still worked so that Jesus would be born of Mary, a descendant of David, and His stepfather would be Joseph, also a descendant of David. God is at work. He is good. He's got this thing planned out. He's got this thing figured out. Friends, stop hitting yourself on the head. Just come to what His word says. Come to His plan, because He is good and gracious and compassionate. Again, verse 5, He has given food to those who fear Him, and He will remember His covenant forever. Verse 6, He has made known to His people the power of His... Do you see the power of God at work? The Bible says that even the king's heart is in the hand of God, and He maneuvers it whichever way He wants it. God's not caught off balance because a certain political party is in charge. He's not caught off guard when the North Korean premier or president wants to bomb the U.S. He's not caught off guard by any of that. He is working it together for the culmination of the ages, where they will come again. The nations, you know, we see that the nations in biblical prophecy, that they're coming against Israel. Well, friends, they're really coming against God. They're really coming against God, and they really want to. Psalm 2 says, why do the nations rage? Because they don't want the accountability that God is calling them to. Jesus tells the city of Sidon and Chorazin, of Bethsaida and Chorazin. He says, woe to you, because of my works, these miracles that I've shown you and would have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. Friends, we can't ignore the work of God. We can't ignore the work of God because His judgment is coming. Let's look at the third thing. The third thing, the works of God point us to His redemption. The works of God point us to His redemption. Look at verse 7. He said, the works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. Okay, we have a holy God. And because we're sinners, that we have, there has to be a way to reconcile that. How can we, a sinful people, commune or have a relationship with a holy God? There is a disconnect there. There is a brokenness. God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden after they ate of the, after they disobeyed God by eating of that tree. Where is the communion? Where is the fellowship? How do we come back together again? Because God is a holy God. The only way is to, for God to do it is to provide us with a savior, a deliverer, someone who will buy us back. Look what he says. He says, the works of the hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. And holy and awesome is his name. When we drink the cup, and what are we doing? It's a new covenant in his blood. A new promise. He has called us to obedience, to forgiveness, to repentance, that we might be called the children of God and that we could cry out to him, Abba, Father. That's the relationship. That's the redemption. That's the buyback. He buys us back. He pays for our sin. He pays the ransom. And he pays it to God the Father because we have offended God the Father. So he points us to redemption. His works point us to redemption. As you read through the Old Testament, as you read through the sacrifices, as you read through the feast days, as you read through all this is pointing to his redemption. All this is pointing back to what it said in Genesis chapter 3 after Adam and Eve sinned. He says, I will send a deliverer to you. I will send somebody who will deliver you from your sin, from this outrageous thing you guys have done. Excuse me. Genesis 3:15. And we see the work of redemption since that day and will culminate somewhere in the near future. Because God redeems his people. God is a God of love, but he is also a God of truth. The only way he could fix the sin problem was by sending his son as a man who was 100% God, 100% man, and 100% holy without sin. And Jesus died on the cross in payment, and he took my place. He took your place. And that's how God fulfilled his holy righteousness. Because otherwise, we would never see heaven. Otherwise, we would never be in his presence forever. Otherwise, we would never be able to enter in. Because sin is not allowed into heaven. But because of his forgiveness, the work of God points us to redemption. That's why when you share your testimony, you say, you know what? I was doing this and I was doing that. This was the kind of person I was. But I came to the place, you know, it just came. Just the reality of my sin and the weight of my guilt and the shame, Christ opened my eyes to see that he forgave me and that I can have forgiveness and I can have eternal sonship and that I could be in heaven with him forever. Friends, compare anything in the world to that. And it fails miserably. We think we're having a great time out here, are we? Now we're having this party. Wait till the morning time. See if you're feeling as good as you thought you were last night. First time I went out drinking with my friends. I thought, man, this is the best feeling I've ever had. I thought I wanted to die the next morning. I came home. My mom caught me at the back door. She didn't have to do anything. She didn't have to beat me. She didn't have to whip me. I'm sure in her mind says, wait till the morning. Wait till the morning. Friends, that's the way sin is. It's called the passing pleasures of sin. We're caught in the moment. We're caught in the excitement. We're caught in all this stuff. And then we have to, an old saying, pay the piper, right? Or the rooster comes home to roost, right? Or, well, I can go on with a bunch of old sayings, but we find ourselves miserable. And it's only as we see the work of God. Again, let me come back to the prodigal son. Had all this money. I could talk to several of you. Money doesn't last long, does it? It goes. Choo, choo. His money went. Choo. What struck him? What struck his mind? He said, "This is horrible. I want the pig's food." And then what struck him were the works of his father. He said, "My father's servants are treated better." In other words, my father takes better care of his own than I'll ever find out here. See, he wanted to get away from his father. He couldn't handle it. He didn't like it. The rules, the regulations, the stipulations, the curfews, the whatever things that they had. Obviously, he couldn't keep them off the internet. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have all this. They had their own things that they got involved. He said, "I want to do my own thing." And he went and did his own thing. And then he realizes it's not what I thought it was going to be. My father's house, it's better to be there. He remembered the works of his father. And friends, maybe you're strained. Maybe you're here physically, but spiritually in your mind, you're just here to fulfill an obligation. Maybe you just, there's no place like home in the presence of God, with the people of God. As imperfect as we are, you know, we smell from time to time, right? We say the wrong thing from time to time. We step on your toes from time to time. We forget to greet you sometimes. But there's no place like home in the presence of God with the people of God. Remember the works of God because they point to redemption. That redemption is offered to you. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. The fourth thing we see here in this psalm is the works of God draw us to obedience. The works of God draw us to obedience. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Proverbs 1:7 says this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay. I didn't say you're a fool if you despise wisdom and instruction. God said it. Okay. So let's straighten something out here. If the label fool fits you, then wear it and remember it's God who said you're a fool. Because ultimately, if you reject his way, his instruction, you will be found a fool in hell. You will be found a fool separated from God. But he says here, in obedience, there is wisdom. Friends, you may not feel very wise. You may feel like you struggle. But what does James tell us? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask what? Not just ask. No, not just believing. You need to ask of God. And he will do what? How much? Abundantly or generously, he'll give you wisdom. But I want to invite you maybe today, if you would come and give your life to Christ. But at minimum, friends, if you haven't given your life to Christ, at minimum, consider that this is a wise path to consider. That this is wisdom in action. That the work of God, the plan of salvation, even though you may feel like you've been cheated in life, even though you feel broken or you feel abused or misused, that God is at work in and through you. Why else would you be here on a Sunday morning? Why else would you be here sacrificing your time to be scolded from the pulpit? Why else would you be here to come and sing praises unless God is doing a work to draw you to himself? And friends, we say his arms are big enough, his arms are wide enough to draw us all in. All of us. we were moving chairs in the patio last Sunday after the thing, and us older folks were using this dolly to move chairs around, and where's Chris over here? Chris grabs seven of them and walks like normal. Puts them down. I said, dude, don't embarrass me. Friends, you and I struggle with life. You and I may have difficulties moving our children or changing our lives, but God's arms are big enough and strong enough, and He wants us to come to Him for wisdom. I could usually tell a young man and an older man just the way they lift things. Chris right now is able to muscle him up. But me, I have to use what's called leverage. I have to use leverage. I can't lift things like I used to. James is another one who's still, he's muscling up. But there's a day, James, you have to learn about leverage, because you're not going to be able to muscle everything up anymore. I use leverage. God doesn't need leverage. God has simply told us His plan. He says, you believe it? Come to me. Exercise faith, come to me. Friends, God is calling you to exercise faith that His works are good, His works are worth it, His work is the only way you will enjoy Him forever. He says here, do these commandments, His praises endure forever. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The wise thing to do, friends, believe God. The foolish thing is to ignore God. You may not outright reject Him, but you might say, I'll wait. I'll wait till I get as old as Alfonso. Or I'll wait till I get as old as Jess or Pastor or Dale over here. I'll wait till I get there. For now, but you know what? Wisdom says the sooner the better. Why waste your life? God has called us to Himself. Where are you? You here fulfilling an obligation? Are you here going through the motions? I'm not going to tell you, don't come back. I'm going to tell you, dig deeper. Open your heart so God can dig as deep as He needs to dig. I've had my share of root canals. I had to go see, my dentist had to refer me to a specialist because the way, the depth of the roots that I have. They had to go in really deep. They had to get the longest little file to pull out the root, because you leave some of that root in there and you'll just be miserable down the road. Friends, some of us, God has to go a lot deeper than others, right? To pull out the sin. But it's worth it. As uncomfortable as it is to have my mouth open as the dentist is working, I don't have pain. I don't have pain in my teeth, because it's been dealt with. Friends, let God deal with your life. Let God deal with your sin. Let God deal with the things that are going on in your family. Let God work His works in us. And let us tell our family and our friends, come and see the work God is doing. We ask ourselves, where do we start? Where do I go from here? There's just too much in need in the world. Too many people in trouble. There's too much. It's just overwhelming. What do I do? How do I go? Story told of a little boy who was walking down the shore, and he saw all these starfish that had been washed up at the shore. And he was getting each, he'd get one at a time and throw it back in the water. So a man came and says, hey, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to help these starfish. He said, there's just too many of them. You can't help them all. He said, but I can make a difference for this one. And he threw it in. I make a difference for this one. Start with one person. Share with them. Encourage them. Point them to the works of God. Tell them, come and see. Come, let's get together. Let's go have some coffee. Let's go have a burrito at Mario's. We'll get a chili dog at Tommy's. We can talk. I'm sorry, no chili dogs for me. Start with one person. Maybe you need to start with that person in the mirror. Maybe that's the person you need to start with. Come to the works of God. Let them point you to redemption. Delight in them. Taste and see that God is good. Let that fire burn inside of you that you can go share it with someone else. That we can make a difference in our world. Father, today, no matter what our age is, no matter what our educational level is, no matter what our looks, our money, all that is meaningless when you indwell us. Because you can use anyone. And you want to use all of us here for your glory. Help us have that compassionate heart of that little boy simply throwing a starfish back into its natural habitat. Help us to call people to Christ. Help us to have them come and see as we manifest your work. We thank you for that. We praise you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.